The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
Got a 1-point contest going into the final quarter, Fred.
All right. So we'll keep you up to date on that.
If I told you the Rockets were going to be shooting 49% from three, but it would be a 1-point game, would you have believed me?
No.
I wouldn't have either. I would have said, AJ, you're crazy. So,
well, what are the other guys shooting?
From three, 37%. 10 of 27 versus 19 of 39. But here's the kicker.
Rebounding?
Well, it's 5 rebound edge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not sure how they're even in this thing, to be honest, because turnovers are pretty close, 10 to 9. I mean, I've been watching the game, but from the box score, it's almost weird that this is a game.
Okay. The latest Laura thing says, near the Sabine River, with landfall occurring very early Thursday morning. Which I, you know, again, don't want to pretend like I'm some kind of weather expert, but isn't Vinton, Louisiana, near the Sabine?
I don't know. I'm not a geography expert.
Okay.
But
so
based on the way you said that, I'm guessing it's close.
Yeah. Matter of fact, it's right across the border.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we'll see. I mean, hopefully that's the case. I don't really, you know, I was trying to find this guy's tweet. And just, but now I can't because he's been tweeting every 10 seconds about this. And you keep going back and looking at all the models, and it's like, well, first it's here, first it's there. So Marco apparently is heading this way.
I thought Marco just rolled over and died.
It did. It's just going to be like, it's going to be, you go spit outside.
Marco's like a thunderstorm now. We're naming our thunderstorms. I thought Marco went the way of Marco Rubio when they were doing the.
Yeah, probably so.
R.I.P. Marco Rubio.
Yes. I wonder if he took that tweet down, because I've been going through it. I can't find it now.
Probably did.
Yeah.
Like, if they had some ugly tweeting, they were probably like, hey, you need to take that down.
Well, I mean, it was kind of like out of nowhere, right? The whole thing was about the, oh, it's on the same path as the 1900 storm, which destroyed Galveston. Like, whoa. So somebody has a screenshot of that. I'd like to see it. So we go to the fourth quarter. Your Rockets trying to go up 3-1. We didn't talk about your buddy Earl Thomas yet.
Yeah, Earl Thomas. I haven't been able to find like details on the story other than got into an altercation at practice.
And
that could be a lot of things.
But I think he also went outside the team's instructions and posted got somebody's video of it and posted it to his, I think, Instagram or Twitter.
Okay.
When they had told him not to.
So we heard what we heard was he punched Chuck Clark, and I think he was already kind of on thin ice, but. I'm assuming that this was obviously the end of it. I don't know where he's going to end up. I've heard that, you know, we've heard Dallas has wanted him forever and would make sense, you know, now. But who knows? Who knows what the future is for that dude? He's still a good player. He's no longer an elite player. So... And he seems like he's getting to be more and more of a headache. I have a hard time trusting someone who has orgies with his brother. Just throwing that out there. I mean, who am I to judge? But I would say that's even weirder than what Jerry Falwell Jr. was doing. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with him.
Yeah,
if you ask Twitter.com, Earl Thomas is going to the Cowboys, and it's the only place that makes sense. And finally, the stars have aligned. It's a bad thing when the stars have aligned because the player you really want got cut for punching his teammate. Now you're like, well, that's God's way of showing us he's supposed to be a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, he wouldn't have punched that boy if he didn't want to play for the Dallas Cowboys, man. You knew as soon as he let it go, he knew he had a landing spot here. That's the only reason he'd do it. It wouldn't make no sense otherwise. That old boy knew. He'd been like, hey, man, I wish I could play for the Cowboys. I'm stuck here with these old Ravens. I know how I can get out. I know how I can get down there to Dallas. I'm just going to punch this old boy right in the face, and they're going to let me go. And guess what? Jerry's going to be waiting there with a checkbook. I'll probably get a raise. And he probably will. Probably should.
Oh, man. So Courtney sent me this. This is what the guy wrote, just switching back to weather for a second.
Oh, God. I'm so done weather talking.
I know, but you tell me if I'm being unreasonable with how stupid this is. Dear Houston, Galveston, and all of Southeast Texas, Laura is now mimicking the path of the 1900 storm that forever changed Galveston. Those of you who have been following me over the years know that I won't sugarcoat anything, so let me be frank. While the exact landfall and intensity are not set in stone, it is likely to become a large and powerful Gulf hurricane, and if it continues on this new path toward Texas, it could rival the 15 to 20-foot storm surge of Ike and the 130-mile-an-hour winds of Harvey. So, shame. He's invoked the 1900 storm, Ike, and Harvey all in one.
That's what we
thing.
Call fear-mongering.
Yeah. Many of you may be skeptical of the latest forecast.
Hey, man.
What a turd. What a turd. Oh, boy. What's the score now?
It is 96 to 96.
And somebody says, so you'll be 79-3 if it doesn't hit Vinton directly. No, it's not hitting Houston, is the prediction. I'm just throwing the Vinton in there if you want to bet. You know, go online and bet.
I don't think you can do that.
You can't?
No.
There was a place where you could bet on weather at one point. Yeah, 832 sent me that too.
It's too hard to like say, oh, well, it hit us because, I mean, there's some, like, it. You have to say, well, did you get any, how much rain
well,
did you get
it,
from it?
Will like, it impact us?
Will the, yeah, I mean.
No.
You don't think the storm will impact us at all? Like, you don't think we'll get rain?
We get some light rain, but we're not going to get things serious. We're okay. Not going to get high winds and storms and tornadoes.
I don't remember Harvey having crazy winds.
No.
Thought the big problem with Harvey was it didn't move. It just sat here because the wind wouldn't blow it away.
Well, as you recall, it actually came ashore near Corpus first, and that's when it was a hurricane with the big winds. And when it got here, it just sat here and rained on top of us.
And it sat here, and then it kind of rolled around and went. It left, and then it came right back and sat on top of us again.
And then it did the exact same thing to Beaumont. But, it wasn't a wind thing.
Which, I mean, that we're coming up on the 3-year anniversary of that. My most unforgettable birthday, the start of Hurricane Harvey, when we had to leave Vegas early. We had to leave Vegas before we went to the Mayweather-McGregor fight to come back for a stupid hurricane.
Yeah, well.
That will always piss me off.
Well, and it's a good thing we came back or
yeah,
we would have been stuck there for a week.
You're right.
And it's funny because I actually wound up booking 3 flights out of there. Because about Thursday is when I was starting to realize, holy bleep, this thing's going to get us and get us bad. And we probably need to get out of here tomorrow. And then I guess you talked to your wife and thought the same thing. And even by the time we got off air Friday, I was worried our flight wasn't going to come into Houston. Now, as it turned out, we could have, you know, it was fine. But I also booked a flight to Austin and a flight to Dallas and was planning to rent a car and drive home. And fortunately, we got the first one. But that was a bumpy-ass flight.
I think Virginia's right. The crazy winds were in Corpus with Harvey.
Yeah.
So we didn't, like, Rockport got blown over. I forgot about that.
Yeah. But all I remember was I had about 6 vodkas before I got on the plane and 2 gummies. And I was all Mr. Serene the entire flight. And even when it starts going like a roller coaster, I guess we got about over Amarillo. And that plane starts bouncing up and down. And I'm just like, woo! Hey, man, this is fun. Can I get another vodka? Yeah, and then I get home. And, you know, like the flight attendant was really nice. Like, yeah, I'll keep bringing you vodka as long as you're not driving home. Like, yeah, I'm not driving home. And I get to the airport. And the wife had come to pick me up. She could barely stand up because she'd been sitting there drinking the whole time waiting for us.
Yeah.
It's like, great. Now I got to figure out a way to get home. So, yeah, Diesel Dad said, I live in Orange, so it's possibly going to come right up our ass. Yeah, Orange is probably one of the areas it's going to be a problem for. And usually all the bad stuff is on the right side of the storm. So the farther east it goes, the better it is for people in the Golden Triangle. But, you know, it's not good for Louisiana. But, hey, you know what? We had to eat Harvey so the Astros could win a title.
It's true. It was worth it.
You have to pay the bill for LSU.
Sorry.
The bill comes due.
I like also that there's clearly a hurricane coming and Coach O is still like, no, we're practicing. Priorities, man.
Yeah, you got to love Coach O. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't. I mean, I just want people to be prepared but not scared to death. Yeah. We've had enough scary stuff. People try to scare you over the COVID. They're trying to scare you over this. The asteroid that's going to hit us the day before the presidential election, apparently. I mean,
honestly, would that be that bad?
You know, at this point, I got to tell you.
Kinda I'm for it.
I'm okay if, you know, some asteroid wants to dinosaur us at this point. I think humanity has had a good run. And we're going, yeah, and I don't think we're, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if somebody just said, you know what, humanity, that's it, enough. It's time for some more dinosaurs. Let's see if they can do a better job. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Got a pretty good game going here, as you were just saying. The Thunder up 101-99. 6:49 left to play, which means they're going to score 50 more points each. Somebody's asking on the text line, said it, instead of an asteroid wiping us out, what if God, the universe, just brought back dinosaurs and released them onto the masses? You do realize that was the plot of all the Jurassic Park movies. So, you know, this, we don't need to make a movie out of it. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm frustrated with humanity. I'm like everybody else, man. It's like, we don't need any more crap this year. And you knew we were going to be at least having to deal with the potential of a hurricane because, you know, 2020. But enough, man. There's yet another missed 3 by the Rockets.
Struggling.
I don't think they're going to stay over 50%, AJ. It's probably not going to be good for him. I don't know if you saw this or not. There will be no sideline reporters or pregame TV reporters in the NFL this year.
Okay.
I have to say I don't miss sideline reporting. I think that's one of the most useless things in any broadcast.
Right there with you.
And you know, other than getting hot women a chance to get their careers launched, It does no good. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, it's, Coach, tell us how you sucked there in the first half. You never get good answers. It's It's pointless. I'm glad you're not having him. But
yeah, I'm good with it, too.
Luis says, so frustrating to see the Rockets attempt so many threes. It's almost like some analytics exercise showed them the more three-point attempts, the higher chances to win. Yeah,
that's what they believe in.
Query Princess says, 8 years and finally got off the Texans season ticket wait list and no fans for the first game.
There's a reason why you got off that wait list.
Yeah, probably so. I think a lot of people were going to get off that list anyway, because some people aren't going to be able to afford season tickets this year. And we still haven't seen that kind of impact, and we're not going to, I don't think, this season until maybe later. But, you know, I guarantee you there's going to be some people who do not renew their season tickets, and we won't have to hear this whole thing about there's 30,000 people waiting for tickets anymore, because that's not going to be the case. 103-101 Thunder with 5:19 left. So, why can't the Rockets finish a layup when the threes aren't going? Because they have no practice with layups. That's not their thing. So, with an asteroid expected to hit us the day before Election Day, with our luck, it'll probably hit a swing state.
Yeah, I'm watching this video. I watched the video from Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
And has he since deleted it? Is that why you can't see it in Instagram?
Yes, I believe so.
Because apparently he was trying to clear the air, which the truth is the Ravens couldn't have been happy that he was posting any footage of practice, period, good or bad or indifferent. I will say, you kind of feel for Earl Thomas, because clearly he's one of those dudes who it's a little bit Chris Paul like there's an expectation that's set, and if you don't meet it, he's really tough to be around. Like, if Chris Paul didn't think you're working hard enough, it sucks being on Chris Paul's team. I think that there's a place for that. Earl Thomas, you watch the video, and it looks like, well, Earl Thomas thinks Chuck Clark didn't do a great job in this coverage, and he apparently that was enough for him to let Chuck Clark know you suck and to punch him in the face. Now, I don't necessarily agree with his solution. I feel like maybe you could have walked over to the they don't have iPads. What do they have? The Windows Surface. And and worked it out over some film study and said, hey, this is what you could have done, instead of saying, hey, you suck, and punching him in the face. But, you know, you can't argue results.
Well, all I would say is, if I'm the Cowboys, I'm not interested, even though that was always a rumor. If the Ravens can't be happy with you, then I don't want you. The Ravens have a way of getting guys like this to work out.
I wonder if if you'd asked me 3 years ago, is Earl Thomas going to be a Hall of Famer? I would have said, lock it in. Probably since Ed Reed, and he's been the best safety in the league, you know. So it's been he's probably had a, you know, of his generation of guys, because I think of Ed Reed as a generation before him. He's been the best safety in football.
I think Eric Berry was better before the cancer, but
yeah.
But you got to, I mean, you got to count.
They're in the same conversation, I think with stuff like this, and now knowing how the Hall of Fame is, between him having orgies with his brother and punching his teammates, I can see the doubt. The doubt is starting to creep in.
I think people will forget by then. I mean,
no one will ever forget you had an orgy with your brother. If you had told me you had an orgy with your brother one time when I was drunk and high. And
during the Rona, when you're not supposed to be out, by the way.
Right.
Let's not forget that.
If you had told me that about you once ever, I'm telling you, I'd bring it up on our show every day. Like, I'd say, yeah, but you don't have any credibility because you had an orgy with your brother.
Yeah, but that's because you're the king of beating a dead horse.
That horse would never die.
No, the horse is dead.
Can that horse die?
Yes.
No. You have an orgy with your brother, and your wife finds out.
Ed brings a gun.
And I mean, that horse will never die. That's what he's going to be remembered for now, no matter how good he was at football.
Maybe that's how the fight got kicked. Maybe he was throwing a fit. And an old dude turned around and said, you know what? I'm not talking to you. You had sex in the same room with your brother.
Yeah,
I mean, that would be your response anytime he criticized you when you feel like it's unwarranted, right?
Yes. I'll say this. Like, there's some player, and you can have a good career in athletics, but there's sometimes you have one thing happen, and all of your athletic accomplishments are forgotten and replaced with this new thing. And, I mean, I think OJ is the king of it. Like, OJ was, like, we hardly ever talk about the fact that OJ is one of the greatest running backs who's ever played football because we almost kind of forget OJ was a football player. Eddie Griffin, who was by no means like a world-class NBA player. I mean, he was a good player. He crashed his car because he was masturbating while driving. He's just the NBA guy who crashed his car because he was masturbating while driving. That like he'll never be anything else. I think Earl Thomas in this brother sex orgy where his wife shows up with a gun, that may be who he is forever. That's his defining moment.
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong, because the better you are, the less these things matter. Go Ray Lewis basically killed a person or may have killed a person. Nobody talks about that.
But OJ,
Kobe Bryant. Look at Kobe. Kobe's now everybody memorializes a guy every single day.
Here's the thing, though. Like
Earl Thomas was he's still a really good player, but he was, as you said, one of the best at his position. 5 years from now, when they do the electing, they're going to forget all about it.
I'll say this. The Ray Lewis thing, the Kobe Bryant thing, and Ben Roethlisberger. Like,
yep, there's another one.
We're just talking about guys who are potentially involved in crimes. I'm talking about stories that make you go, are you friggin' kidding me? I think that's...
Killing two dudes doesn't make you go, are you freaking kidding me?
I guess it's a little bit different. I don't know. Like, when I think of Greg Hardy, and now I've almost started to think of Greg Hardy as the ballooned up UFC fighter instead of the former defensive end. But once Greg Hardy body slammed his girlfriend on a bed full of guns, I pretty much forget all your NFL accomplishments because that story sounds so crazy. Whereas I don't know, like Ben Roethlisberger allegedly, plowed some chick in a bathroom at a bar. I mean, obviously it's a horrible thing. But it just seems like run of the mill crime to me.
Yeah, it's not.
It's got to be a memorable crime
that they put on the news that you're like, yeah. And another guy got murdered. Somebody got murdered.
Yeah,
and like, then you get those Florida man stories where you're like, wait, what? You tried to do what with a chicken, a rooster, and a donkey on a lawnmower? Like while going down the freeway.
If Ben Roethlisberger's rape had taken place his alleged rape had taken place in like a porta potty at Coachella, I'd be like, oh my God, he's the guy who had sex in a porta potty in Coachella or had forced sex. Like it suddenly becomes crazier. I think you need to have a little bit of crazy factor in your story. But maybe that's just me. Maybe I just
I think it's just you, because Michael Vick would also argue that. Yeah.
But that's what people think of with Michael Vick.
They still do, but he's
like
still
do Michael Vick's career accomplishments outweigh the fact that he fought dogs?
I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame discussion, though.
I don't think so
either.
Earl
Thomas is, but it depends on who you talk to. Most people, said he did his time. Move on.
I think that's giving people too much credit. Yeah. I think if we went and stopped 10 people walking down the street, well, not in Rona times where people would actually walk around on a street and talk to a stranger, six of them will probably go, oh, yeah, he's the guy who beat and drowned dogs.
All I can think about is like how having an orgy and your brother it's just the weirdest thing to me. Your wife storms in the room with a gun and you're in there with two chicks and your brother in the same bed. It's an unforgivable crime.
I'll tell you this. I guarantee you half the people don't even remember that already.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Those people need to watch the news.
Well, now you're asking too much of people.
All right. If you also, if you, I don't know if you guys have been watching the news, but there's a thing called coronavirus, COVID-19.
And if you're watching the Twitch, you get to see one of these, by the way.
Yeah, and COVID-19 is bad. And one of the ways that we as a society are trying to stop the spread of COVID-19 is with masks. And if you wear a stupid mask, like just a bandana or a t-shirt around your face, you are allowed to go into stores and stuff, but you're not protecting yourself. And I went to Six Flags with my Boomer Naturals mask. I flew on an airplane in a Boomer Naturals mask. Josh just flew on an airplane in a Boomer Naturals mask. Guys, you want a mask that's going to protect you. These have that nano silver technology woven into the fabric. They've got sizes for adults, teens, and children. So it's good because mask fit is also important. You can't just have some piece of cloth on your face. And they've got the neck gaiters as Fred is modeling here. Everyone look at Fred. Okay, that's enough looking at Fred. And another great thing, they donate one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping Native Americans, helping military veterans. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code Hoffman and save 20%. That's promo code Hoffman at BoomerNaturals.com. Nobody tried to ever got pieces off me. Knocking these hoes till they be dying.
Don't get the seizure on me. Fever goose to move the product. ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 2:07 left. Rockets up one with the basketball. And we'll see what happens. And, of course, they just turned it over. That's pretty typical. And they're jacking up bad threes. They're going to lose this game. I'm calling it now. Show predicts that the Rockets are going to lose this game.
Well, show predicts that you're currently the favorite for that right now as they take the lead.
Lance would like to delay until the game ends. Wait until the segment after?
You know what? That's a reasonable request by Lance, and I'll allow it.
Rockets back up one.
I wish we could have delayed.
Shule says the Rockets are going to win after all.
We should have delayed this segment because we're definitely just going to sit here and watch the last minute and a half of this game
and
as they go back and forth.
Thunder go back on top. So, yeah, it's not exactly easy to sit here and talk about anything else when there is a minute 34 left and they're going back and forth. So here's Harden and ISO again.
Oh, that was a lot of steps.
Yep, and he just kind of threw up a really awful shot. So Thunder up one with the ball. And
like there's a Euro step. That was like a an Australia step.
That was a Michael Jordan travel is what that was. They would have even called traveling on Jordan on that one. That's how bad it was. So yeah, 109-108. Looks like 112 left. And Thunder up one with the ball. So, although they called that had to be a foul, right?
I think it was a foul. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is great radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. A minute 12 left. Okay. The Rockets still shooting. They're now shooting 39% from three.
Okay.
So not quite the 49% that they were shooting earlier in the game.
Yeah, well,
39% still you would think decent enough.
Yeah, although I mean, when you're shooting 49% and you're up one, it's not a good sign. Especially with this team.
Yeah.
Boy, that looked like a Rockets three.
And
a Harden turnover.
what an
awful decision. And an awful decision.
They're getting open looks. Well, they didn't take it that time.
Yeah.
They were running some clock. Maybe they think that's more valuable. Down to 40 seconds left in the game.
And they can go up three here.
And they will.
Yep. The Rockets with the ball now. I guess... Yeah, that was just such an awful turnover by James Harden.
Awful, really bad shot.
Yeah.
Oh, they're wide open in the corner.
And missed. Of course they missed the three. I told you they were going to lose.
Yep, you were right. Show was right. Show was right.
I just don't get why they get so mad when we talk about how hard it is to watch this team. That was just some awful basketball. I mean, really awful basketball. So, and that... Basically, what happened was the Thunder take they're up four.
They took a good, it was a good shot. It was a wide open shot. It was just an awful It was a good look. It was an awful shot.
Yeah, and Harden gets the rebound and then basically tries to throw the ball across the court to a guy who's completely covered. And, of course, it's a turnover, and that's probably going to cost him the game. So, but I'm sure Patrick and Jason will have tons of excuses for these guys tonight. So make sure you tune in to
Late Hits. I think if they lose, Patrick and Jason will just talk about the Astros. Oh, but they're coming off a loss. Damn, you might be right. They may have to come up with some excuses.
The Astros just got swept.
Yeah. Oh.
It's going to have to be an
Late Hits is going to be a sad show tonight, guys. sad show.
Oh, no. I'll be interested to see how they spin it. So,
well, Chris Paul wasn't a total disaster again. I mean, what was he, minus 36 or something the other day? 26? I mean, just a disaster.
Yeah.
Solid day today. 24 points.
Well, you're going to be 2-2 here in a few minutes. So I think if Russ can play, better get Russ back out there.
It may be time.
Hey, if we're going to have Lance on next segment. Let's go ahead and do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day now.
Oh, good call. The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
All right. I hope I'm not stealing this from your dumbass report because this is kind of a dumbass. 27-year-old Herbert McClellan went to a gas station around 2 a.m. And while in the store, he reached over the counter to steal 13 different scratch-off lottery tickets while the clerk was distracted. About $102 worth. This is pretty typical, too. He stole $102 worth of tickets. He had one ticket worth $30. Guess what he did?
He went back to the same store to cash.
Yep. And, of course, called police, and he was arrested for petty theft and dealing in stolen property.
Womp, womp.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
So is it 114, 111?
That is correct.
Okay, so once he makes his free throw, it'll be a...
And Schroeder's having a hell of a game, too.
Four-point game again. Yep, four-point game with...
Just under 16 seconds.
All right, so they can get another three and foul again, or they can miss the three and that'll be it. So
my guess is the latter.
Yeah. Grim Jow says they'll talk about the free throw difference. I mean, the Thunder should get more free throws. They're bigger.
The team is playing more physical and not shooting nothing but threes. There's a foul differential.
It's not fair. Show says it's not fair.
Well, sorry, Show.
Oh, well. All right, so the Rockets will have the ball down 4 with 15.8. So,
Are you going to go ahead and call it?
I already did. So, okay. Yeah, and you know, the only way that I'm wrong is if the Thunder fail to live up to their potential.
Okay.
Yeah, it will somehow be the Thunder's fault if that, you know. Can you blame them?
Can you blame the Thunder?
Yeah, I mean, no, can you blame me for blaming the Thunder?
Oh, should that happen? I mean, that's the way to spin it.
Yeah, of course it is.
I'll have your back on that.
All right, well.
Then, if that happens, then the Thunder had to choke.
Right. And the Rockets inbounding here, and... That's long three. No good.
That'll do.
And, yep.
7.8. And, I can't believe it didn't go in.
Really long off balance three. Just a typically bad shot.
Good news. They set a record tonight.
Oh, great.
Most 3-point attempts in NBA playoff history, 57. That's strong. They could have made more. That would have been better. But, hey, they shot 57 of them.
Did they win?
No. But that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about the record they set.
Okay. So
that's the opening segment of Late Hits. They set a record. They're the best 3-point attempting team in the history of the NBA.
Oh, man. That was just, well, let's see. Here's Patrick Creighton's tweet. Harden simply too deferential down the stretch with kickouts to teammates who have been chucking bricks for a quarter and a half. Gordon Tucker doesn't matter. Last 3:15, he passed to teammates who can't hit instead of taking himself. Rockets needed him to take over. That's Creighton's tweet.
All right. I mean, dude had 15 assists.
Right. Yeah.
Normally, that's good.
Let's see.
I would maybe blame some of those teammates who were missing shots. But that's just me.
Yeah. Everybody's saying, okay, Russ, time for you to come back.
I don't get it. Like, if I said who is the guy on the Rockets that you feel best chucking up a three, to me, it's Ben McLemore. And I know he's not like, he didn't have a whole lot of jobs on this team, but I feel like chucking up the occasional three is one thing he's good at. Well, on a night that they set the record for most threes attempted in a playoff game, he attempted two of them. That seems off to me.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I need to look at the numbers. Harden was 6 of 15, which you can live with. Tucker, 3 of 8. Covington, 4 of 8. House, 3 of 9. Gordon, 3 of 8. Green, 2 of 6. McLemore, 1 of 2. Rivers, 0 of 1.
Well, that'll do it. And, oh, is that counted as a shot attempt? Oh, it went in.
Did it?
It yep. did. Yeah. They only lost by 3.
Oh, the record gets pumped up. Who's gonna attempt 58 threes in a game?
Rockets in next game.
They'll break it next week.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Who hit that?
I don't know. I didn't even see. Who cares if you miss 35? Oh, come on, James. That's not sportsmanship.
What?
He just knocked over the sign about wearing a mask.
I think that was the sign that disposes. Was it about masks or was it disposing hand sanitizer?
I don't know which one it was, but it's like a safety sign on the way to the locker room, and James just shoved over the sign. What a baby. You know what? Good game.
Not really.
He's so unlikable to me. I can't... I watched Luka, and I'm like, I could not like this guy if I wanted to. Then I watched James push over the hand sanitizer sign on the way out after he loses. He's very easy to not like.
That's because you're racist. That's
no, it's not. Someone said that. I was like, why? How come I can't not like Luka? And they were like, oh, well, because he's a white guy. I was like, oh, it's funny. I never had that problem with Dirk. I had no problem not liking Dirk. In fact, I can't think of the last white basketball player that I cheered for.
Well, let's...
I kind of like Kyle Korver because he's a good... I think he's vastly underrated in the all-time great three-point shooter conversation. I think he's a top five all-time three-point shooter, and no one thinks of him as that. But when you look at the numbers, you're like, oh, man, dude can shoot. But besides him... I don't really like white basketball players, so I don't think it's because he's white.
Well, he's also a foreigner. That doesn't count. I mean, I don't.
He's not even like a regular white guy.
He's not a real white guy. He's a foreigner.
Yeah.
So.
It's not like he's some guy who went to Creighton.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.
Valpo.
This is the Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And we have Lance. And joining us now, you can follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench. Lance Zierlein, Are you glad that you waited to watch the end of that before you talked to us?
Well, I needed to, because we'll be talking about it tomorrow on the show. So,
at what point did you realize?
Watch it all and take it all in.
At what point did you realize what was going to happen?
There was a time with about a minute. You know what? When Schroeder hit that shot past Jeff Green, that's my realize.
I was going to say when the Thunder missed the wide open corner three.
Yep.
And James gets the ball and immediately throws it to the other team. That was pretty much it.
No, that's one too. Yep. That would be one too. Two turnovers, two big ones. One of them was a misread on the back cut. You can live with that. But that second one that you're talking about is just terrible. And that, you know, this is the thing. I'm going to make this all about James, but for the people who always love to try to quote stats about him, this is why when it's nut cutting time, there's just not a step. You just don't see a lot of, for being a superstar, you don't see a lot of step up and take over. I thought he was way too content to drive and dish. And then when he finally did drive and take to the hole, once he got a layup, the second time he kind of settled for some kind of bungling, you know, dotted line floater, which didn't get there. But just a horrific, horrific effort from a shooting standpoint for the Rockets. And this is why you're going to live and die with that Lilliputian ball. You're gonna live and die with it. Today was a death. And honestly, Oklahoma City really isn't that good. I mean, they really don't match up great with Houston. But this is what happens when you go into toilets from a shooting standpoint, and you refuse to go get a better look.
Well, and I can tell you what's going to happen is I can already hear people saying, "Well, if the Rockets lose this series, well, they didn't have Russ." Like, I'm already hearing that happening.
It's just such. You know, if I thought that you were overmatched, that'd be one thing. But you're not. I mean, none of the games you haven't looked overmatched in any of the games. The Russ, it's just about executing and making some threes or taking better shots when the threes aren't falling. This has really nothing to do with Russell Westbrook. I mean, anybody who says that, that's just a pure excuse, because you could beat the Thunder without Russell Westbrook. You 100% could beat the Thunder. 100%. 4-1 at worst.
Well, the Rockets set the NBA playoff record today for most three-pointers attempted in a game.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they are I think we can all agree, they are the best three-point attempting team in the history of the NBA playoffs.
Yep. They set that record, I think, four times this year.
And there's something to be said for that. I mean, who else is doing that? Show me somebody.
No.
Who you got?
I mean, they're the only ones.
That's right. That means they've got the team that's best.
Doing it the most, I guess.
That's what Daryl wanted, too. Daryl wanted the team best equipped for three-point attempts, and he got it. That's what small ball is.
Look, I'm fine with that. Just, you know, field a team that makes more threes than the percentage they make.
Well, but if you field a team that makes all those threes, it's really hard to set the record for attempts. So what are we trying to pull here, Lance? Are we trying to be the best three-point attempting team, or do you want to be a good team? Because there's...
I mean, good team?
Oh. Well, that's not how Daryl built this thing, all right?
There's no such thing as a three-point attempting team. You don't build three-point attempting teams.
What do you think there is there? Well, I mean, how do you say that? And clearly, that's what they've built.
Well, I guess that's true. That's like a team that swings the most. Like, we want to be a team that swings more than anybody else in baseball.
Well, yeah. What's the alternative? Not swinging. It's hard to hit home runs if you don't swing, Lance.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess you could make the same thing if a team threw the ball. Because you know what? Tons of championships for football teams that throw it 50 times a game. Tons.
Well, I mean, Jameis Winston, he threw the most passes.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's got to work.
I mean, yeah, you're starting to lay some good sports arguments
out
there.
Well, I'm an analytics guy, Lance.
I can tell.
I wanted your take on the Astros, because it seems like the Astros are doing that thing where, you know, when there's a bully and like he goes and he beats up all the kids at school and he feels like a real tough guy, but then he gets home and he's got three older brothers and they smack him around and take his lunch money. That feels kind of like the Astros right now. Like, they're bullying the kids at school that, you know, are punks, But then they get up there with the other big dogs in their house, and they're getting punked out.
Yeah, no wins against teams with winning records. They're 0-8 against A's, Padres, and Dodgers. It's a concern. I mean, you know, you're beating up on the weaker teams. You're losing to the better teams. It's just what you have is you have a very, very average baseball team at best, and maybe even slightly below. You've actually got a below average Astro team, because there's a different measuring stick. Yeah. And there's really no way that it's going to get a lot better. I mean, they don't have Verlander. They don't have Yordan. Bregman's hurt. This year is just kind of a mess for them. It's just a pandemic year of baseball right now.
When Fred and I were talking about this earlier today, when that's the case, do you even bother to invest in the trade market, or do you just say, you know what, let's come back next year, clean slate, and see what we got?
I'm actually the other way.
Giving up prospects to get better?
No, I'm the other way. I'm willing to listen. And I know that's not popular, and no one in Houston would like that. But listen, sometimes you have to do things that don't feel good. Sometimes you have to do things that hurt. Your farm system is not where it needs to be. This is really your chance to listen up on some players that you have and say, look, we're going to hit reset, and we're going to do it a year earlier than we need to. But we also understand that that's going to give us a little bit more leverage from a – you know, from a trade standpoint. And I think if someone, now I don't know what the minor league systems are looking like for all the teams, but I think this is the year where I'm not dead set on just dumping everybody, but I would absolutely listen. Absolutely. If somebody is interested in Zach Greinke, absolutely. What are we thinking? What do we got? Because they're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs. They don't have enough. So I'd listen for Zach Greinke. I would even consider listening for George Springer if you thought you could hang on to Carlos Correa, which I'm not sure that's even going to be a possibility anymore. But
it's funny that a year ago it was, if you had to choose between Carlos and George, it was certainly going to be George. And
not even close.
It's literally the first time where Carlos has looked like what we thought Carlos might be.
Right.
And, I mean, it's good timing for him and maybe not the best timing for George. I've always thought that if you were going to pay one of those guys, it made more sense to pay Correa, because George Springer's, he's an older guy at this point. People forget that he was an old prospect, and now he's I don't want to say he's an old player like he's Zach Greinke or something.
He's older than people think, though, I think. In a lot of, like, he feels like a 26-year-old, but he's not.
He's older than a guy that you want to be giving his first mega contract to, I can tell you that.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that supposedly he's had beef with the Astros, is that, you know, they really we're kind of holding them down in terms of waiting on that service time, because they wanted, you know, to bring that young kind of a younger nucleus up. They didn't want to waste some of his service years on a really bad team. But, you know, you also have an older George Springer now. I mean, he's not old. He's still in his prime, I'd say, but he's also not young. Like you said, I brought this up on, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, but it was on the air. You know, Correa is playing great this year. Just like you said, AJ, this is what we were expecting. Of course, we're 28 games in, and he's always had an issue with staying healthy. But I feel like watching Tatis this year, that Tatis is what we were expecting Correa to be. Correa is a nice player, but Tatis looks like he is that superstar. He is that, you know, five-tool player that we thought Carlos Correa was going to be.
I agree with that. Yeah, and I don't think Carlos is going to turn into that.
But I don't either. I don't think he's going to have that kind of super stardom offensively. It's just, I think he's going to be really good, but I also think he's going to be extraordinarily expensive. And if somebody were willing to deal for Carlos Correa in advance, I would consider that. I don't think you're going anywhere, even if you make the playoffs in this, you know, crazy year where everyone's making the playoffs. And I would 100% be listening to what the offers look like.
It's funny that you mentioned that about Carl, or about Springer, him being upset that the Astros haven't kind of taken care of him on the money and ran up his service time. But if you remember, the Astros offered him the same deal that they offered Jonathan Singleton.
Yeah.
And George Jonathan Singleton was like, "Oh yeah, I'll take the good money right now," and not bet on myself. And he was really wise to do that, because if Jonathan Singleton had said, "I'm going to bet on myself and wait," like George Springer did, I mean, Jonathan Singleton would be probably homeless right now. Instead, George Springer said, "I'm going to bet on myself," and really, he's done well for himself. You'd think, like, man, yeah, this is the kind of guy he's put up the numbers that we want. But then you look at his age and you say, boy, how much longer is he going to do that? I don't know if it's George, you know, if it's the Astros did him wrong or if George's agent did him wrong.
Yeah, I honestly think that. Well, I mean, the Astros offering him that was just clearly a case of, let's see if we can trick the young guy into signing a deal that looks good for him now, but
right,
will give us club control later on. Singleton took it, and as you mentioned, he stunk. I mean, he was a cash grab for him, and because he didn't bet on himself. George got good info. You know, he got good. If George didn't understand, he got good. Good advice from his agents. But I think George did everything he could. He was a big time prospect for the Astros. It took forever for him to get up. And he wanted to get paid earlier. I mean, he wanted to have a little get back. And the Astros finally took care of him a little bit. But now, you know, it really is one of those situations where you're going to have to start making some really tough decisions. And even if you want to keep Carlos Correa, I just feel like the worst thing in the world is when Alex Rodriguez, you know, where it looks like he's going to end up with the Mets. Because he is A-Rod and J-Lo are now tight with Correa. Correa is now gone to a different agency that doesn't even have – they have mostly movie stars. They don't even have any baseball clients. He's the first one. Just all signs point to him looking for a New York market. And I think if that's going to be the case, then you can't just hold the bag while he's in and try to, you know, get something maybe for him before the trade deadline, before he leaves. I think you have to do it in advance where teams are willing to give up more. So – that's why I'd be willing to listen on Carlos Correa 100%, but, I mean, it doesn't stop there. If you think Yordan is a long-term player, you've got some talent. You've got some guys in your lineup that can hit. And this is why you have to take advantage of the window of opportunity when it's open. You have to, because just like that, it can close. And I think it's going to close in the Astros. I think it's closing on the Astros. But you don't have to have it close all the way. If you make smart moves, you can reopen that. And good teams and good organizations find ways to keep the windows open, and that's what the Astros are going to have to try to do. But I don't think it's by sitting still, and it's definitely not by just trying to give away more prospects for a team that's really not going to win it this year.
That's the number one mock draft attempter. Lance Zierlein.
Don't lead the league in mock draft attempts, not even close.
Well, not accuracy, but attempts. You try a lot, and that's what we like about you.
I only try four times a year.
Well, that seems like a lot. That seems like a lot. appreciate it, Lance. You hear him 7 to 10 on the bench Monday through Friday. Have a good week, man.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Elate Health. And if you have BPH or an enlarged prostate, it sucks, man. And they're going to tell you the surgical options, and the surgical options include getting a drill put inside your pee hole. And you might be thinking, that sounds awful. And that is awful. And Dr. Andrew Doe at Elate Health said, man, I got something better. I'm coming up with something better. He was the first doctor in Houston to do this procedure called PAE, which is an advanced, minimally invasive procedure that uses X-ray technology to treat your prostate. So if you or someone you know has a frequent need to urinate, increased urination at night, difficulty starting, you need to look into this. You don't need surgery. You're in and out in a few hours. It's done right there in the office, and no one in Houston has done as many of these PAE procedures as Dr. Doe. He's the guy you want. It's covered by most insurance plans. What are you waiting for? Learn more about it today. Call 832-850-4618. That's 832-850-4618. Check them out online at choosepae.com.
All a little too well. Listen, the distance between us.
KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.